time's
gorgeous.
Daylight's a burning.
I need to order. It's 5:30 of the Government Efficiency and Review Committee. Everybody has, received the minutes of the meeting of the last meeting. Move to approve the minutes.
I move.
I'll second.
Moved and seconded. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Carried. Okay. Are you guys here for a couple of resolutions?
I am, yeah.
One, we can move them around. It's not a big deal.
No,
okay. Okay. Under new business, we have four pending resolutions. I'm going to ask that resolution 223, living wage, be postponed until next month.
Okay, I'll move it.
I'll second the postpone.
Move to postpone. Second. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
All right, postponed. Setting a public hearing on a proposed law, law 4 of 217, a local law to provide for the collection of village taxes, to be held on Tuesday, June 20th at 7:25. This passed Ways and Means, and it's a public hearing for the county to make good, make whole. Quite honestly, you know, I guess I did say the other day, Mr. Legislator Briggs or Tom, that, you know, there's a lot of comments and things to go around, but your point was very, very well taken. Maybe this will encourage everybody to pay up.
I'm also working to get a little information about who is behind, and, you know, so
the people, the bodies.
Yeah, well, because I want to take that back to the village and say, let's see who is behind and see if, you know, who the players are, because I think it's the same old faces. And
but really, this is just for a public hearing.
Yeah.
A public hearing. Yeah. Let's find out the folks that are against it, the folks that are for it,
mm-hmm.
the reasons for it. I could go through a whole list of why I think it's a decent idea or a good idea, but this isn't the actual place for it. So
I know, you know, we're not talking exactly about the local law, but I wanted legislative first. He's got a duck. If this local law, if we were to vote on this local law and it was to pass, we're not going to take into consideration past debt, only future tax liability.
That is correct.
So why go and look at who hasn't paid what now anyway? What good is it going to do? I'm sure that the village knows it.
He's doing that on his own time.
Oh, no, that's right. I mean, I'm all for the public hearing. I would like to find out why the village doesn't want to do it. Why can't they do it?
Well, the village does want to do it.
Well, then they can do it, can't they? Why can't
they? No, the county has to approve it.
No, I mean, they can collect their unpaid taxes. Why aren't they collecting their unpaid taxes?
As I said, there's lots of comments about why. Good, bad, and ugly.
I haven't heard one valid one yet. There's something about the treasurer.
Sorry.
Yeah, I know.
Yes, ma'am.
Did you get that?
I'm sorry. Yes. I agree.
No, I just said, you know, I understand that you're going to ask the village to give you an accounting of all the arrears and, you know, unpaid taxes, but if this local law was to pass, and the verbiage of it is it's only in the future now.
That's correct.
Take effect. So do you happen to know why the village doesn't collect their unpaid taxes? Do you happen to know?
Because the village treasurer doesn't do it.
Well, why doesn't the village treasurer do it?
I mean, I don't know. Why don't you ask me ask me the lottery numbers tonight? I got a better shot at guessing that one.
I mean, maybe we should have asked the treasurer to come in and talk to us.
Is it an appointed position or elected?
Appointed. I've had this conversation with the mayor and the village manager.
But then ultimately, and I'm not getting on you, but ultimately, if it's an appointed position and the person's not doing it, it falls under the responsibility of the village board.
I've been advising them of that for, if Bert was here, he'd probably know the exact number of years, at least for 4 or 5 years.
You know, can I just say another quick comment on this? Legislative Green?
Manager.
Yeah, and Rich, yours might be more direct. Mine is just a question about don't we already make the towns whole?
Yeah.
Yes.
So why does, in the resolution, why does it say the town of, village of Ellenville, town of Fort Worthing, village and town of Saugerty? Shouldn't it just be where the village is? Just in terms of the wording. This is the one, two, three, four, five, six,
you're in the wrong one. You're in the wrong one.
Am I?
Resolution.
Oh, jeez. Municipal consult. Oh, I'm so sorry.
That's okay. I was having trouble finding it.
It was the same topic. I mean, the same set of players.
Yeah. The only thing I would ask is to have a public hearing. Yeah. Honestly, I don't expect it to pass, and I understand that, because I think the village has to do a better job, and that's why I want to be able to bring in some further information about the players that owe to the county. And let me see how forthcoming the village will be with that.
Can I make a quick comment? I mean, I'm in support of this. The county, in my opinion, should be doing it. I would think, you know, we spent the... I don't think we spent any money, but there was that Ellenville million we passed. To me, that would go much better. That money would help this community more to invest it, to help them be able to collect their taxes. Because part of that Ellenville million was street, making the streets look nice, putting more money in the Shadowland for the 35th straight year. They've gotten government funds for the Shadowland.
That's not true, though. You're off base on that, Rich.
But Senator Bonnesek, Kevin Cakes, brought money to the Shadowland for years.
No, they haven't.
I represented that.
Well, I'm glad you did, but Kevin Cahill hasn't done a damn thing for us. He doesn't represent us. And Bonnesek has maybe given us a few dollars. But
he represented Worthing for 10 years.
Look at what has been built up around the Shadowland. And if that's not economic development, I'll eat my hat. That's exactly...
I'm talking about two different things.
I know that, but Rich brought it up.
First of all, I have the floor. Now
you have the floor. Okay.
Secondly... Tom, I'm in the village. I have two houses there. There's vacant storefronts to the left of Shadowland and to the right of Shadowland.
And if you look at the restaurant,
Tom,
growing,
can I speak?
Yes, but I'm just answering what you're saying.
But I'm not talking to you.
All right, let's have a decent dialogue.
The bottom line is,
back and forth.
This, in my opinion, this will do more to help the community because the taxes in the village of Ellenville are outrageously high. They're nobody will invest in the village of Ellenville until their taxes go down. It's crazy what I pay there. And I'll tell you, they've gone up, they've almost doubled for my one house in 3 years. And
I take it you got the reassessment then. So now you're paying your fair share?
You can say it's my fair share, but a house in Stone Ridge, I'm paying double for that's valued at about five times as much as the house in Ellenville. So I know what you're saying, but it's no reasonable person, in my opinion, because I wouldn't do it again, would invest in the village right now with their taxes. Sewer and water bills are out of control, because when the Neverly closed, how many years ago, their sewer and water bills went through the roof. I pay $1,000 every 3 months for a four-bedroom just in sewer and water bills.
Wow, you know, and I have a two-family house, and I pay $165 every 3 months.
Well, then, because you live there, and you're an elected official down there, so maybe they give you a break, but I don't get the same break.
Do you really want to play that line, Rich?
Tom, why are you interrupting me? I have the floor.
Because,
if you want to speak,
you're essentially saying
come on.
Because I'm an elected official that I don't get charged charged?
Tom.
Interrupting
me. You're like
a three-year-old. I am the deputy chair, and I'm going to put my foot down because we're not talking about the resolution.
Yeah.
If you guys want to talk about this offline,
you're right. The resolution, in my opinion, will help the village of Ellenville collect their monies that they deserve to be collected. It will help take the burden off of other taxpayers because what's happening is the taxpayers who are paying their village taxes are making up this burden of uncollected taxes. And I believe if we should appropriate maybe some of the Ellenville million. If the Bert Golnick says we need additional staff, hire somebody for a year or 2 years and do it. To me, that's a better use of money than rehabbing a building for the third time in 15 years. And it's just crazy.
Well, I'd like to know when's the last time Rich, because I think he's referring to the Shadowland, the Ellenville million is gone. That's not going to go to this. resolution is all about the county making the village whole, or the three villages in this county whole, much like they make all the school districts and all the townships whole. That's what it's about. And the line, once this is passed, the line is drawn in the sand, and then you have to look 3 years from now. And I agree with you. I mean, this would be beneficial, but I also think what's beneficial to come back to the county is who are the players that owe the money, because I think I know some of the players, and their theory is, since you're not going to foreclose on me, the hell with you, I'm not paying the village taxes. And this, I have advised the mayor of this and the board of this. So,
can I ask a question?
Go ahead.
TJ, I'm
yes, ma'am.
The chair. I appreciate the sentiment of coming back with that information. It must be public information, right? I mean, if you're behind on your taxes, is there currently, not the players, but is there currently a number, kind of, yeah, to Rich's point of how it puts other village taxpayers at a disadvantage, of how much unpaid village taxes there are?
Yes, there
I've
are,
heard it's 1.5 million.
I'm not concerned with that now.
No, I know. I'm just curious. I know that the line gets drawn.
But part of that 1.5 million, because if you don't pay your water and sewer bill,
uh-huh,
that also goes on your tax bill. So I don't know how much of that might be water and sewer bills.
Okay.
So.
But just, then I'm going to ask to move on the resolution for a public hearing. But we did get a letter from Ellenville asking for help. And we'll use this at the public hearing if it passes. The green areas of the state.
Where'd the letter
cover?
Where
cover village taxes.
Did we all get a copy of that letter?
I believe so. Didn't they call it, copy the letter from the mayor? I think we sent it out. But if
it's
not,
like
we'll
last
get you a
month?
Copy.
Yeah, it's like the same letter.
From last month. Yes.
Yes.
Okay, I got
yes.
that letter.
So, I'd like someone to move the resolution for a public hearing. Moved.
I'll second.
Seconded. Discussion.
Just
yes,
me
ma'am.
Be clear. Are we still on 181?
Yes.
Okay.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Okay. So now we'd be talking about resolution 219. 219 is supporting Ulster County's municipal consolidation and efficiency competition application as required by New York State Department of State in submission of the grant application.
I'll move it.
I'll second.
Okay, discussion.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
We had some discussion offline before the meeting. And
where is
219? This supposed to be money, grant money, for consolidation of the town and the village of Ellenville?
Partially.
All right, so that was part written into the grant application?
It hasn't been submitted yet. So essentially there's it's a multiple phase project.
Okay.
What's special is that Ulster County is one of six municipalities in the whole state that qualifies for the $20 million.
And that would be, if we want it, we'd get the whole $20 million.
Yeah.
And to be used throughout the, you know.
Yeah, to facilitate those things.
Yes. Yeah, but there's the
it's got to happen.
It's good. It's the town and the village, and I think, Rich, you're absolutely right that the taxes are way too high in Ellenville, and that's part of this thought process.
It's brutal. Yeah, vacant buildings are vacant all over the place.
Yeah, and plus, the plan includes a consolidation of services in the town and village of New Paltz, and also the town and village of Sawlands at different levels. There's a host of things in the mix here, but essentially this is a helpful resolution to support that grant application. Again, we have a really good shot of it.
What would that mean? So this would help them incorporate the town and the village. And then you said sorry, these?
There's multiple municipal shared services initiatives.
But it hasn't actually been written yet.
It's in process right now. It's due at the end of the month.
So we'll get a copy of that.
Yeah, sure. It's due at the end of the month. It's public document. We're not done yet. It helps with the consolidation of the bus systems between the county and the city of Kingston, for example.
Right.
A lot of projects.
Oh, so that's part of it too, the Kingston City bus and the UCAT consolidation. Okay.
Can I ask?
You got it.
Ken, with this resolution consolidation and kind of going back to the last resolution, I know the county is resistant to pay the taxes, the village taxes, because I've read folks said they've got a maybe higher additional staff. Would it be worth talking to the village of Ellenville and saying, listen, when we collect the money, we'll keep half, we'll give you half back. I mean, it's not going to cost $750,000 to hire a couple staffers to go through this and do the court proceedings and do the things. And it, to me, it's a win-win. And
well, Rich, I mean, of course, you know, everyone's talked about only enforcing the current taxes, right? Like, which,
well, I think going back is important, too.
So how would we sell a property at auction and foreclose if there's still all that old money?
But the village doesn't put a lien on it, does it?
Oh, it does. It sure does.
So when you sell it, if they don't pay their county taxes, we take the property.
Yeah, but I'm just saying it's a lot more complicated than just.
But do you make the village? Do you pay the village's lien off then?
Currently, we don't know.
So the lien is useless then.
Yeah, but if the legislature were to change policy and assume, remember we have three villages. This is a non-issue in the other two villages.
But can I just ask you? I'm not sure how this works.
Sure.
If I don't pay my village or town taxes, the county comes and takes it.
Yeah.
The county and school district's been made whole. So when that property sells, it doesn't matter to the village or to the town or the school because they've been paid right along. Mm-hmm. If the village has put a lien on that property, say for $5,000 for the past 3 years, 5 years, however long they've paid, if Ulster County sells it for $5,002, do they have to pay that lien off so the person that buys it could then?
I believe there's an apportionment.
There's an apportionment. Okay.
Yeah, I believe that's.
Can we find
there's
that?
There's no
out?
What money. No.
The problem with that is, Rich, they may owe $25,000 in village taxes. So when you go look to buy that property, there's a $25,000 lien.
Right.
And what attorneys in the village will tell their clients is just, you know, go make your county taxes whole for that year. So now it doesn't go on the chopping block.
Right. But eventually you're going to want to sell the property, and it's all got to be made.
A lot of people have just walked away from things.
Listen,
and a lot of it,
I know.
It's banks.
You know,
the banks don't care.
I just finished. I think this is a really important topic. I would recommend that the legislature, either through this committee or the Ways and Committee, invite the treasurer from the village of Ellenville in to the meeting. And I know Bert would come and, again, there's a lot of issues that go back many years, and I think putting them all on the table and talking through them would be helpful.
But that doesn't help going forward.
But,
and, I, you know, the mayor wants us to try to do something. The manager wants us to try to do something. Saugerties mayor and town board supported this effort. New Paltz, the village, supported it.
The village of Ellenville is never going to get to be where it needs to be until this issue is resolved.
In fact,
it's never going to get there.
The current thinking of the town and the village is a dissolution of the village.
And that's great. Then the problem goes away.
Yeah.
And I get that.
But once again,
but if it doesn't dissolve,
the 90% of New York State makes the villages whole.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No,
there's got to be something to it. But we can go round and round. Let's just ask a question. In this application, this is the city of Kingston. When I was running around yapping about family court and working with the city of Kingston for a joint project for the court system, I said, "Oh, you can't do that. You could merge in a building, or use a building, or buy a building, or develop a building where you could have the family court and the city of Kingston court, which would be a joint service, a joint venture, a shared service." So Kingston City could be eligible for something like that. You know, 5 months ago or 8 months ago, he said, "Oh, you can't do that." That's what I was told. But it appears they could.
Well, John, I'm not sure what you're talking about, but these are specific.
If you put a building up and you had the family court in it, mm-hmm. and you had the city court in it, security would be easier. You know, it would be the municipal center for justice, a justice center. That's a shared service. Kingston, Ulster County.
Yeah, it's one that the city of Kingston is not interested in.
Who isn't?
The city of Kingston has never proposed that topic ever.
Well, they said that would be great because they have problems with their own courthouse. But
I meet with the mayor at least every couple of weeks in our office. He's never brought up that topic.
Well, right? Maybe he didn't bring it up because it's going the other way.
I also think a lot of this is it's tailored around villages and towns.
Pardon?
Villages and towns. They essentially want to get rid of
the... I know, I just see the city of Kingston in here.
Yeah, that's because it's consolidation of the bus routes and so on.
We do
okay.
Because there's a duplication of services, but they really want to get rid of why do you have a village DPW and a town DPW?
I understand
they want it to be one DPW.
But when you can work together,
it
makes sense.
It's the same theory under our great governor. Why do we have a throughway authority and a DOT? But that's another topic altogether.
Can I?
Go ahead. Yes, ma'am.
Just wondering why other towns were not included. I understand about because there's still opportunity. For example, the Rosendale Marble Town shared.
Well, we didn't vote on it yet.
Well, there's two things going on at the same time. So we have this municipal competition. This has been ongoing for some time. We put an outreach to the towns and villages and the city of Kingston about participation. Many stepped up, many did not. Many choose not to participate with us. However, there's a new initiative. There's a mandate that was included in the recently enacted state budget that requires the county executive to work with all the town and village officials. We have that meeting coming up this week to start that process. But we have to deliver to the county legislature another shared services plan by August 1st.
Okay.
And the legislature will be able to deliberate that and take a vote on it before September. Again, the good news is we're so far along in this municipal competition. A lot of that work that's already done will become the base for this new required plan, but there's an opportunity for other municipalities to step up and talk. But again, you know, as we know, many of our municipalities are very parochial. If you recall, just 2 years ago, there was a state requirement that in order for your residents to receive a rebate check, you had to have a savings plan. Mm-hmm. And at the time, Ulster County had done so much where we had, you know, we had paid off all the safety net and elections for the towns and done a lot of, we had so much savings in our plan, we actually offered to the towns, you know what, you can sign on to our plan and it will cover you and you don't have to do a thing. Mm-hmm. We actually had four towns that chose to do nothing and their residents didn't get rebate checks and they could have just come and signed a piece of paper in my office. So again, shared services are great. I think we all talk about it, but there is a reluctance at the municipal level.
If a job is cut, there's reluctance.
Well, it's town to town. So there's the town of Marbletown and town of Rosendale. They're two separate towns.
Is this a CFA grant?
No. This is something special that was in the budget two cycles ago. And again, we put in applications with municipalities all over the state, and ours ranked to such a level that we qualified for the finals, if you will. And there's six municipalities, us and five others, that qualify for the finals. We'll know whether we've won that by the fall.
Okay. Because I got an email yesterday and today about submissions for the CFA grant.
Yeah, those are all out there right now.
Yeah.
All right, a motion on a resolution?
So
we have.
Did you want to say something?
No, I was still
motion.
No, we're
good.
We have it.
Okay.
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
That's 220?
That's 219. 220 is sort of a companion resolution, I suppose. It's the way to,
by way of 181.
To label it. And move
I'll 220.
Move it. Second it. Discussion.
Hey John, this is just so when we qualified for the finals, we were awarded $50,000 to help our planning process.
Yeah, it's a companion thing, I understand.
A contract for the legislature chairman to sign to accept the $50,000.
Anyone else?
And do you use that money for the grant writing?
Yeah, we're doing it all in-house. We're offsetting internal costs.
Yeah, and Jonathan Dropkin's leading the meetings, I know, in Ellenville, and Patents for Progress. So.
Okay. I'll move the question. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Okay. Authorizing and establishing resolution 441. This is old business now. Unless somebody has some other a new business they want to insert. Establishing an Ulster County Housing Consortium. Manna Jo, this is...
Yes.
You have anything you want to add to this? We have been in touch with our friends across the street. Jay did receive a phone call, I guess, or...
Email.
Email. But nothing in particular. I just think we have to move forward with it. Get an RFP, do something, and find out what it will cost to get the study we're looking for before budget time. Any discussion?
Didn't we have a discussion? I mean, I wasn't here. I was at NYSAC when Rupco came.
Yep.
And but they were the only player here, right?
Yep.
They didn't have Birch's or any other developer.
I thought there was one other than Rupco.
Michael Bird was here.
Yeah, Family Woods.
Family, yeah. That's right.
I mean, I'm not to minimize the need for a study, but I can almost guess that we need low-income housing and lots of it here in Ulster County. We don't need high-income housing. We don't need, you know...
Middle-income we don't need.
We're moving up to Woodstock.
Yeah, but not anymore. They won't let them in.
Yeah, exactly.
Plenty of it. I'll bet my reputation on it. That's what you're going to find. Because, as we know, the Department of Social Services has a very rough time placing families. There's a waiting list. RUPCO has a waiting list. Section 8 of housing, it's, years to get a Section 8 voucher.
The problem is the feds are cutting money. I know the Elmville Housing Authority, prices go up, and the feds are cutting their money they're giving them. You know, how do you do that?
Madam Jones?
As I recall, there was concern by RUPCO that part of the reason that they hadn't been meeting for so long is that the focus was really more now on homelessness and dealing with what they called,
continuum.
Thank you. I know it goes from here to there. What's that called? So it seems to me that there is a need for both, and for dealing with the problem of homelessness versus affordable housing. And we were trying to get them to make suggestions as to how to resolve this unused housing consortium that has, and I still don't think we've gotten good feedback from them. So one of the things we could do is to do a study. But seems to me that they need to be active.
If you remember, they were here, they said very clearly they just can't do it. I mean, it's just too difficult for them to take care of what they're taking care of and then combine all of the other requirements. And we're no further ahead. And this is a resolution going back 2002. So it's not being lived up to,
right.
not for any malice, but just it's a resolution that no longer in essence functions. If we're concerned about housing, we got to figure out where we're going to go. I am. I see it in people close to me, whether they be folks graduating from the community college or 4-year schools, that certainly owe money, student loans in particular, some of them. But there's just no place for them to rent, pay their bills, have a living, and number one, finding a job that they could make enough to earn that money. We have to start somewhere. I think everybody knows, whether it's low-income housing, as Carl said, or middle-income or work fare.
Well, what do you want to call it? Low-income or affordable?
Well, there is a difference.
Affordable
there is a difference.
Housing?
Well, there is a difference.
Yeah, but the problem is once you start getting into affordable housing, they don't pay taxes.
Listen, we can't do anything until we find out. Identify everything. I think there's plenty of documents around, and then try to bring the developers in. Tracy.
If this body isn't currently meeting on the subject that the resolution was created for, which I get is 15 years later, and I'm just throwing this out here for discussion, is there any value to the legislature establishing a new committee to advise the legislature on the same subject?
Maybe we should do
subject?
That. That was kind of the question.
Yeah.
But nobody wants to at the time, just wipe it away?
Right.
How can we resurrect it, bring it back, bring it into the 21st century, split it off, whatever we have to do?
And I know that you brought forward that resolution, which failed by one, I think, to do a housing study.
Yes.
A certain amount of money was involved, but I don't know what the next step would. Maybe has the committee spoken to Dennis Doyle, the planning department, to see where we're at just internally? What the
I've spoken to Dennis. Dennis is pretty bright, knows what he's talking about. Before you know what, I'm getting confused.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, all I know is, in practical terms, there's a problem.
Right.
And I don't think we can ever go out and ask Mr. Builder or whatever to address one specific need that some legislature would be concerned with.
This committee of 15 people that's appointed by the chair of the legislature, when was it last appointed?
I don't know.
Appointed?
When was it
and are they, they're currently seated, but they're doing something different? Is that
the
what's
letter
it?
That the that Chairman Bernardo got from the consortium regarding the switch of the focus to the continuum was in October 2013.
Hmm.
So like that. How many months before that letter they started talking about this, I don't know.
But if they served 4 years and their terms are renewable, they would have had to be reappointed, or they're essentially just operating roguely, right? Because you have to reappoint them to term.
But I don't even think it's operating. The way I looked at this is, as part of when you first started it, was here's a resolution that's passed. Maybe it's not operating. Do we want to resurrect it? And then let's go to the chairman and say, look, let's resurrect this thing. You know, this is a needed thing, and let's get new folks out there. Let's advertise or whatever you want to do to get some people. I don't know if we need 15 people. That sounds
maybe make amendments to this.
Or just kill it and create a new one.
Yeah, whatever you want
to do. That's clean.
That's what I thought. This was just, we're just looking at the old.
Yes.
How can we fix it to make it work because we know it's needed?
Yes, yes.
Well, there was no financial impact for this.
Right. So, well, it's always great when it's needed and it doesn't cost you.
It certainly would spark a discussion, though. I mean, I think that's what the initial aim was, right? To get a conversation going.
I also think that if some of the groups that say they don't have the resources were not included, they would be very upset. They, you know, it seems to me there is a need. It can certainly include continuum. It can include homelessness. But I have not heard a good reason why this...
These
people should not be appointed and be functioning.
But I kind of think at this point it's time to just say it's no longer operable. It's not being used. It's, you know, kill it and start a new one.
If, for example, I like your idea of doing a study, unless there is something very current that we already have, they would help guide, you know, the study. They can use that information. They can participate. But it seems to me that
the last study was 206.
If this was not needed, I would say the heck with it. Let's take it off the books. If it was really antiquated. But I think it's very much needed, and I have not heard from RUPCO or from anyone a good reason why this should not move forward with funding for a study, which you proposed last
but they
year.
Did come when you and you were here where they said they just can't do it. They were here. They spoke at length and they didn't mince words. And I kind of don't disagree with Tracy. I mean, I'd like to do a study. Well, and what's the vehicle then? What's the purpose? Either we resurrect that and as part of that ask the legislature to have an RFP on a study on a housing in Ulster County. The last one, I think, was 2006.
May I ask you
something?
Yes. Okay. What do you want to get out of this study? because do you want a study to say, yes, we need more housing, we need affordable housing, we need middle-income housing, we need housing for the poor? All of what's going on in Ulster County in housing is market-driven. And nobody builds anything unless they get money from the Department of Housing or they get money from the county's social services. No one's going to build affordable housing to make it a profit
subsidized
with their own money.
Yeah, right.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
But that's what affordable housing
is. But it's market-driven then. I mean, if you look at Ulster County, if you just look in the area of Kingston, Sorgatie, Esopus, there's been affordable housing in the last couple of years. You had the Esopus, Burgess of Esopus, Town of Ulster, and Sorgatie's. You've had the Rupco Dress Factory, Kirk Factory, whatever you want to call that thing. Rupco's built the Woodstock facility, just to name a few. I bet 15, 20 years ago, that kind of rapid building of affordable housing was non-existent. So what do you want to get out of the study? I mean, we want to spend $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 to be told of what we already know. You know, there are families that are homeless. There are families that can't afford.
Sometimes you have to be able to
housing.
Focus on something.
There are families who are on a waiting list to get a voucher for Section 8.
Go ahead, Rich.
You know, Carl, up in like Cape Cod, Massachusetts, when we go up there, I like to, you know, get the local papers and read. They actually, their towns up there, if a developer comes and wants to do a 4-lot subdivision, a 7-lot subdivision, whatever he or she wants to do, they actually have provisions that a certain number of lots have to be sold for a certain amount. So maybe they give them an extra lot in their bit. You know, if it's 5-acre zoning, maybe they allow 2 houses on 5 acres. Mm-hmm. And those have to be then, can only be sold for a certain amount.
And are deeded that way.
They're deeded that way. And if the people who buy them, they can only, and I've read on them, it's really amazing stuff. If you buy that house, you know, at a lower cost, you can only increase the cost like 1.5% or 2% a year. So if you sell in 2 years and the market triples, you can't sell it for 300% gain. You can only go up to 2%. Sure. But they've bought it for, and it has to go to the same kind of, you know, same qualified individual. So now that's a town issue. It's not a county issue.
Right.
But this plan could maybe identify programs that would benefit towns.
But the only problem, if I may say, if something is pinpointed to us, I don't know what the legislature can do other than say, here it is. The executive's office has the platform. They have the experience. They have the people to recognize that there's a problem or disagree with it. And then, you know, through their contacts in the business community and the political community, to make a difference.
Yeah.
But and that's where
I'll
we're...
I'll play the devil's advocate. That's fine to have private investors and buying small lots and doing that.
Well,
that's up to the towns. But for all of these companies that are building affordable housing, they're getting a lot out of it, and it's coming off the taxpayers' backs of those towns.
Yeah.
Because they don't pay taxes. They pay payment in lieu of taxes.
Mm-hmm.
And they're very, very
minimal.
Low. And the services, they drain the services from the town, they drain the services, the money from the taxpayer. I mean, I'm all for affordable housing and everything, but this, the model's not working.
But maybe,
the only
maybe
way that they're going to build is with
a
great
affordable housing.
Tax break.
But we need housing
and
for
includes
the
Rupco.
College grants.
John, in Healthy Way in Ellenville by the hospital, I think there's 155 apartments. Gorgeous apartments.
Yeah,
they're great. But it's all federally funded, and then Jonas sells the stuff back, and he's built, I think he's got 12 or 14 of them. Last I heard, he makes $1.6 million a month, personally. Rich Gerentine has affordable housing. But the average guy, the average Joe Builder, or Bob the Builder, doesn't take his little truck and go in and build affordable housing. It's all federally subsidized stuff. These guys all have connections. And then, as Carl said, I think the total tax bill for those 155 apartments is roughly $25,000.
What?
Yeah, because they don't even have to pay taxes.
Oh, yeah.
They only do that, what they will tell you is, we like you, we're being nice to you, we'll give you a pilot. But they don't even have to pay taxes.
Tom, can I?
61 units, $6,100 a year.
I don't disagree with that. But, Tom, those people live right next to ShopRite, right next to the hospital, so they're out spending money. But it's no different than a business that wants to get a tax break or tax abatement says, no, we're going to hire 50 people.
But here's a case where you have a...
It's all the same. One's in housing, one's in commercial.
But here's a case where you have maybe a $3 million project, and they're paying $25,000 a year in taxes, and it's not going up.
I get that, but what are some of the commercial businesses doing?
I'm sure they're paying a lot more than that for a $3 million project, and it increases every year. But at the end of the day, the point is, if you want affordable housing, you go to guys like Jonah Mandelbaum. I don't mean to throw Rich under the bus, but Rich does it. You know, Sam Jones, who does affordable housing, they know how to go through all the hoops. The average guy is not going to go out and build, you know, 10 two-bedroom, one-story bungalows like the old Kosser place on the other side of Ellenville. They're not going to do that.
I want to just get back to Carl's question. What I would like to see, if we do move forward with an updated housing study, would be a profile of the community and a list of solutions that have worked in other communities that would address all of those.
Everybody, each legislator gets this every year.
Yeah.
Read it. It's good reading. It'll tell you everything you just asked. It tells you all the tax... The tax rolls, the whys, the where, fours, the maybes, the everything else.
But it doesn't go into the programs that have worked in other communities or ways, alternatives, right? I mean, that's real data.
Yeah, but again, take Jonah is never going to go to Woodstock and get approved to build affordable housing because they don't want affordable housing in Woodstock because it drains the housing that's there. Because, if you pay $400,000 for a house in Woodstock, and then three blocks down, there's some affordable housing. It doesn't do anything for your property value. Stick it somewhere in Kingston. Stick it up in Ellenville. Stick it some side
street. Well,
didn't
the guy
somewhere.
In New Paltz tell that to you? What do you want us to wind up like?
Right.
Like Ellenville?
They're not going to do that.
But in the meantime, we need something.
So, and you need it in a place like New Paltz. But why will you never have it in New Paltz? Simple. Because I can rent a three-bedroom apartment to six college kids and make about $40,000 a year on it and break every housing law going, but I can make all kinds of money. So why would anybody want affordable housing?
Go ahead.
I mean, maybe some of it's terminology, and it goes back to the first thing, the difference between affordable housing, federally subsidized housing, and what Rich was talking about, alternative kinds of programs. And I don't know the answer right here, right now, but thinking outside the box of ways that both we can assist and inform communities about alternatives to federally subsidized housing that may suffer from a NIMBY for a lot of reasons, both from neighbors down the block and from the fact that what it does to the tax base in terms of the pilots you're talking about. But what the example Rich is talking about that happened in Cape Cod is something that happens locally at a town level and is a different workaround creating a kind of affordable housing without there being a federal or even a state subsidy. They're basically saying, you want to develop here, you have to agree to have a certain amount that's going to be deeded this way, and there's no payment in lieu of taxes. It's just guaranteeing that you start to create a stock. And so I don't know the answer, but maybe the kind of study that you're talking about and getting a bunch of smart people in a room who have an expertise and a concern about this to come back to the legislature to say,
but
this is
what
we're thinking.
But they have to have the data
thinking.
First.
Right.
And I agree. But when, to Rich's point, when you go to Cape Cod and you're paying $100,000 or $200,000 for a lot, mm-hmm. and the guy's got 10 acres, it's easy to say, yo, dude, here's what we need you to do.
Right.
Okay, so I only make $1 million instead of $1.2 million. I'll bite the bullet a little bit.
Exactly.
That's not happening locally.
Right. No, I know that. But
it's a town thing.
There's no. Yeah.
It's definitely
it's a
town thing.
Cut, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't know what the answer
can
is.
Can I just
see
there
have nothing? Discussion.
We're looking at an Airbnb tax. Take that money, and dedicate it to communities that are willing to provide housing. Not off the tax rolls, to maybe volunteer firefighters, volunteer EMS people, single mothers that want their kids to go to, you know, Rondout High School or Aniora High School or New Paltz High School, and take that money and give it to communities that that really want to step up to the plate and help people that are good people in our communities, but maybe they can't afford the expensive houses and good stuff. I mean, that's all ideas that we should be looking at.
All right. No sense in beating it completely to death. Go ahead.
Well, one other thing that I haven't seen analyzed, and TJ, to the units that you were talking about, the projects you were talking about before, I think it would be valuable to see the numbers run for, say, an example of a project that gets that kind of pilot and the subsidies, what it means both to the developer, what kind of rent the developer is getting off the back of the federal government and loss to income to the local communities against, like, where's the breaking point for where something could make sense as a reduced rate? Because using your New Paltz example, you could obviously build in New Paltz, if it were allowed, a 20 apartment unit that would rent for very high numbers. I mean, I live very close
right
to there.
Right down 32, they threw that out anyway.
Right, but you know where the natural numbers could fall, but there's a number where it could make it a profitable project without that kind of federal subsidy. I have no idea what that number is. Someone's got to actually run the real numbers.
And I don't know the numbers in housing.
But they exist.
The housing market is cheap in Ellenville, but I can tell you that even with cheap houses, unless you can get three or four families out of a house, and the zoning won't allow that, it's not profitable, because for what you have to pay for a house these days and what you can get for rent, it's a hard sell. It's a very hard sell.
But that's what I'm saying. I think someone's got to run those kind of moves too.
We're almost
put this back in the hopper.
We're almost talking.
And you say, let's get seven people and open it up again.
We're almost talking about the end result of a study, not how we're getting there. The fact of the matter is, the mean cost of a house in Ulster County and the wages that some people are making, $40,000 or $50,000 a year, does not compute to buying a house.
What about 18?
It's simple as that.
Nor does it work with rent. Because I don't know what that means.
And they can't rent either.
But depending on the community,
they can't rent either. So we'll just move on.
But in terms of moving on, I think that TJ's right. We should decide, and you don't have to now, but we should decide whether or not we amend this resolution in order to update it and make or do, as you suggested, a whole new resolution. But I do think it's
worth. We've been talking about it for about 4 months. We got to make a decision
to bag it, not bag it.
I think
get some information. Not get information. Leave it like it is.
I think we throw it back to the chairman and say, look, we've recommended. Let's resurrect this thing. But let's.
We know who the members were. Huh? So we have a list of what the
15's a lot of people.
I mean, we're not there yet. We're probably nowhere near there yet. But Westchester County is constantly in federal court because of the discriminatory practices of preventing people from being able to live in the community. And there are communities in Ulster County that do not want those kind of folks in their community. And we're going to be there someday. There are other communities that welcome them and try to accommodate the folks. We're going to get close to it someday.
We just don't have the rental stock right now. That's where, I mean, those
the what?
The rental stock. That's
what I'm talking about. That's what we're talking about.
We just don't have it.
Okay. What's next on the list?
Well, I want to follow up on what TJ suggested, because
we only got, guys, 10 more minutes, because they're going to kick us out of here.
Oh, okay.
Go ahead, Manager.
Well, TJ is suggesting that the chairman make appointments.
Well, let's talk to him.
Yeah, let's talk. I think we kick it back to him. And my biggest concern, I think Tracy said, instead of 15, we look at seven people. But let's kick it back to him, let him talk about it. And
okay, great.
Or you could do an up-to number if you decided on an up-to number.
And nobody that used to teach in the city of Kingston.
Go ahead, Dave.
Oh, hi, Dave.
Me, because I never taught in the city of Kingston. I taught in Hyde Park.
No wonder he's got the retirement.
I'm on the next committee, but I do want to talk about this resolution slightly, and I think if you're going to have people on a committee, I really don't. In other words, when you start having these 11, 15-member committees, they are not very conducive to getting anything done. In other words, the committees, in fact, I did a study on it at one point. When you have more than seven people on a committee, it takes a lot longer than what you need to do. And
you studied a committee?
I did that since I studied with my students because I taught government, and I used to do this all the time, put them in committee system. I put them in committees, and it showed very clearly any more than 5 to 7 members, you have a problem. You have less than that, then they get through done.
All right, where's all the stuff from Ryder?
Look at everything. When you go above 7 and all that, it starts getting cumbersome.
So
they don't really.
We tell them our recommendation is 7.
Well, then, if 7 is my goal, I would say up to 10 or whatever you.
Let's, the right number.
Let's worry about getting the
first. All right, I will talk to the Honorable Kenny Ronk about this, the chairman. And we'll move on.
It's 319.
319, establishing a policy of the County of Ulster with regard to PLAs for construction projects in excess of $1 million. We got a letter from Mr. Ryder, the purchasing director. He can't make it today. I believe everybody got a copy of the letter where he stated that they do have considerations. They do take into consideration the possibility of having PLAs. I'm going to send him back a note. He can't make it today. Things, you know, it's understandable. But very specifically, point by point, I'll ask for copies of the considerations for PLAs on the Strive project that he brought up, the rail trail that he brought up, or the family court that he brought up. He did say, in his opinion or their opinion, that the single contractor type programs, like a bridge, even though they could be $2 or $3 million, doesn't necessarily qualify as a PLA. The one thing he did say in there was that the construction superintendent said it wasn't in the best interest of the county to have a PLA. Well, I'd like to read that. I think you all would like to read it because it is an existing resolution. And the stuff that we've already passed out from Governor Pataki and a lot of other people has said PLAs are good for the community and they save money and they encourage efficiency. So, you know, Mark couldn't make it today. There's no sense in spending a whole lot of time discussing it. We're going to just invite him the next time to come in and
John,
if he can make it. Yes, ma'am.
This resolution has that resolve that requires that every year the number be increased based on the consumer price.
Yeah, there is. The threshold is now 1.25 or something like that.
So we ran those
1.27, yes.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
Just a quick thought. I don't really recall the details, but there's one area. As solar is getting scaled up, I think there's a lot of opportunity for large projects, not so much the individual residential or small commercial, but for these large projects, that involve municipalities. I want to really see that PLAs are included because that's a growing industry and it's one that, while it was a small industry, I could understand why it wasn't necessarily organized by organized labor, but for the larger projects, that's on my radar screen a lot, and I'd like to add that to what we speak with.
Well, we're going to go back and ask Mr. Ryder.
Yep.
Because their thinking on it is important. You know, I'm not doing this as some sort of a gotcha thing. If the reasoning is legitimate and sound, so be it. That is a functioning resolution, and if it's not probable, then we have to make a decision on that too. But there are four projects in the last few years that the purchasing director said it was considered. Okay. I think we all would like to see the narratives from the contractors, the union folks, maybe the funding people, and the construction managers. Not much more we can say about it now because Mr. Ryder's not here.
Yeah.
Okay, but we'll try to get a date when he can make it, or if he can't make it, just send us in that information.
Thank you.
Moving forward, the last one. Was a resolution or a letter or a meeting, actually, that the chairman came in and asked the committee, as defined by its name, efficiency, to review the successes of the polystyrene foam disposable food service act. And I've asked Legislator Caldwell Figlio to look into that. On the back of the piece of paper, Carl, I don't know if you read that, is a letter to the chairman from David Rosenberg, who's the director of one of the camps.
Yeah, Camp Robinson.
Maybe out your neck of the woods, DJ. Mm-hmm. With his concerns, the chairman had some people that had concerns. I just brought this into you because at the time when it says Food Service Waste Reduction Act, it's very clearly it's Food Service Waste Reduction Act. I went and weighed this thing at 4.5 ounces and the same cup at 12.
It's not 12 ounces.
Grams. And this one here at 8, and this one at 21. Now there's no, when you have to throw this one out and use, and throw this out and use this one, there's no food service reduction.
See if you win anything. See if you
want
Yankee tickets.
So, these are for you, Mike.
These are for me.
They're for you.
Can I say something?
Yes, sir. Legislator Bofiglio.
I have a pretty sizable businesswoman who lives in my town. She owns Kentucky Fried Chicken, Darlene Pfeiffer. And she actually had a meeting with the chairman, and she brought to his attention a couple of things.
Here, did you want that?
That happens with their corporation. They have to buy all of their packaging materials and advertising from Kentucky Fried Chicken, the corporate office. So on the polystyrene containers is the logo for Kentucky Fried Chicken and blah, blah, blah.
We're almost done.
She has to use this proprietary piece of plastic that is not able to have any kind of permeable ink on it, so she's losing advertising dollars. It's also, she showed us figures, it costs her about approximately $30,000 more a year for her business to buy those plastic containers than these. One of the other things that I've seen in my travels, I was in Sam's Club the other day. Sam's Club is selling polystyrene. Containers.
Well,
I know, they're
sell.
Allowed to sell them. They're allowed to sell polystyrene, which in some respects, so who's using those containers, okay?
Is that a rhetorical question?
Who's buying them? Fire departments?
Homeowners, anybody?
People are having
We never, first of all, you're asking me, do you want me to answer?
Well, no. I guess the other part of it is in the waste stream is packaging material. There's far more polystyrene than packaging. I bought a flat screen TV. I couldn't believe how much polystyrene there was. I bought just a simple piece of Waterford crystal, and the packaging, the styrofoam packaging was tremendous. And what am I doing with that? I'm throwing that. I go to my transfer station, and I'm throwing it in the waste stream. Mm-hmm. There is no recyclable area for that. Okay, so all the polystyrene that's coming out of consumer products is going in there. And I'm not saying I'm right. All I'm saying is I think we're penalizing restaurants for the use of polystyrene. Plus, most of the polystyrene that are used by restaurants can't be put in the waste stream, recycle stream, because
they can't be recycled.
Impregnated with food waste
and
whatever.
And
so
successful.
How is that going to stop?
Well, successful recycling. If you're looking to, first of all, Mary couldn't be here. Neither of us were informed directly that this was going to be discussed, and so I called her. I heard it through the grapevine. I called her, and she has a prior commitment. In terms of regulating, and we talked about it in committee when we were exploring the law, in terms of regulating packaging, we could not find an example of that kind of legislation nationwide because that packaging is obviously coming from all over the place. So you'd be prohibiting, you'd be telling companies all over the world how to do their business and prohibiting that from coming in to the county. So we didn't know how to do that. If you have a suggestion, I would listen to that suggestion. In terms of recycling, you're right that, and that's part of the reason why we look to regulate take out polystyrene foam, because in almost all cases it's soiled and it cannot be recycled. The chairman heard about a recycling pilot that was happening in another county. I called that county and they were having a certain amount of success, but not they accepted zero food service waste. They only took the kinds of things you're talking about, and it has to be compressed. And the woman and I ran the numbers, and they expected that it was going to be 8 months of stockpiling the stuff in order to fill a tractor trailer load because it takes so long to reach the volumes. But again, that's something that's a voluntary program in the county that it was enacted in. And I think if you want to talk about that kind of recycling program for packaging, I think it's worthwhile that we talk about that as well. As far as the Kentucky Fried Chicken, my understanding, just to speak to how the law is progressing, and I didn't see this letter until just now, but in terms of how the law is working in the county, we're experiencing very high levels of compliance. I didn't know Ken would be here, but he could speak to that. And I think the businesses in our county are doing an amazing job complying. When I heard through the grapevine about Kentucky Fried Chicken, I called the Kentucky Fried Chickens in Albany because Albany County has had the law in effect for years longer than ours, specific to franchises. They only apply to franchises. And the Kentucky Fried Chickens in Albany told me that all of their packaging, none of which is styrofoam because it's required not to be, but all of their packaging is labeled with Kentucky Fried Chicken. So obviously they're getting it from corporate. They told me all their plastics have the label Kentucky Fried Chicken on it, all their paper products, everything. They said everything that leaves their door says Kentucky Fried Chicken. So I don't know how they're achieving success, but they obviously are.
Sure. I can't.
Because they deal with corporate, the same corporate, so I don't know.
For Kingston, but I don't think she's buying the plastic from Kentucky Fried Chicken because it's more expensive.
But I don't know. I'm just.
And it's still costing her $30,000.
I don't know.
Okay.
Otherwise, she probably would have bought it from Kentucky Fried
Chicken. All right, because then we have to go. Point. Yes, Manager Joe, and then these guys are.
Please. I just was very impressed with the increasing rate of compliance. And it's a pleasure to me to go to restaurants in Ulster County, and more often than not, they've switched to the compostable, the substitutes for styrofoam that break down. And the other thing that was mentioned in the letter is about the camp. And the last place, we should not be giving our students, or young people rather, at a camp, hot beverages and styrofoam. That to me, that they cite their healthcare people as talking about burns that are resulting from hot food. And I think that the potential for chemicals leaching out of the styrene into the liquid are really what we should be concerned about, especially with children who have very sensitive developing hormonal systems.
I just want to remind you that compliance is the law, and that most businesses, regardless of what people think of business people, are honest and they're law-abiding, so they have to abide by it. It doesn't mean it's not costing them money or hardship.
It's a shame the waste companies don't
Okay,
the
listen.
Law of mandatory recycling.
We got a group waiting around. Carl, we're going to go forward with this, so until time for discussions.
All right.
Until either it lives or dies.
Carl, don't throw all that waste in the waste stream.
Second. Motion to grant. All in favor?
Carry. Win something from this thing.